Simon.
Hey. Thank you very much. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Ooh. Ooh. Thank you very much. I came here about 30 years ago with a hot air balloon, and some of the older folks can remember it, and it went right up to the ceiling. So I thought I'd bring something that flies today. So that's my little very, very lightweight aeroplane. Do you like it? It's quite sweet, isn't it? I'm going to talk to you about something that flies. I'm going to put it up on the screen. You can have a little look. Hey. Okay, now it's meant to be a bit tricky. Can you see what that is? The clue is it's something that flies. What do you reckon it is, little fella? What do you reckon it is? A duck. You are absolutely right. It is a duck. Now, I want you to try hard this morning because I've split up what I'm saying into four little talks. I remember an old man coming to church when I was a boy. He was an old man called Stanley Delves, and he looked very old. He had a beard that went right down to here like this, and he looked like a very old man. And he said, today, I'm not going to say anything difficult, and I want to challenge you that if you try and listen, you can understand everything I say, and you can listen all the way through. And you know, that was the first time I'd ever listened all the way through to what somebody had said. So I'm going to give you that challenge, and I reckon if you're 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or older than that, you can easily understand everything I say today, and listen and remember. So that's a duck. I'm going to click this, and you never know, it might even go forwards. No. So next slide, please. So, okay, and then what's that then? What's that, fella? It is the eggs, yeah. So next clicker. Oh, look at that. Now this duck was in our garden, and it had a nest, and after a little while, they all hatched those eggs. And the mummy duck took all those little ducks up to Paul's pond. Paul's here in the corner. It was his pond that the mummy took the ducks up to. And I went and looked at the empty nest. Next click. Oh, let's do a bit of counting. They do counting at your school? They do counting? Have a count up. Tell me what you think. How many little ducks you think there are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anybody put their hand up and tell me how many you think there are? How many do you reckon? 15. How many do you think? 444. That's a good guess. Anybody else do counting at their school? Yeah? 13. Let's have a try together, shall we? I think I've got my little pointer pen. So there's one there, that's one. There's one that's tucked under there, 2, 3. There's another one, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Did anybody get it right? Well, I think we... Did you get it right? But you were too shy to say to me. Very good. That was good. So next click. And I went and looked at the empty nest, and you can see, look, there's all the eggs, where they're empty, because all those little chicks had come out of the little eggs, hadn't they? But I looked very, very closely, and there was one egg that still had something in it. And that little chick hadn't managed to get out of the egg, and he hadn't been able to go off with his mum, and he was just going to sit there, and he would have died. So I helped him. And if we go on to the next click, oh, I got this little duck, and helped him out of the shell, And then he was just tiny, and we gave him a tiny little bit of water and tiny little bit of food. And in fact, he lived in my top pocket, because it's nice to keep him warm. He lived in my top pocket for a long time. And next click, turned into a beautiful, beautiful duck. Next click.
Oh.
Isn't my duck lovely? Do you know what I called him? Ducky. Yeah. Yeah, I'm good at names. And then one more click. Oh, and my duck, do you know the thing about ducks is the first thing they see when they hatch, they think is their mum. So I have been a mum. This duck would follow me all over the place. He used to come in the car with me. He used to sit on the steering wheel. When you went around the corner, it would sit on the top of the steering wheel like this. And it grew up. Next picture. There you go. There's my duck. And still, and then slowly, it went wild. I didn't really want a house duck because they're not good pets. Don't really have a duck. They're messy things. And it slowly went wild and it went off and then it stopped coming back. And I used to see little ducks flying over and I used to think, is that my duck? I don't know. Can't tell. And then the next summer, I was in the house. The doors were open because it was hot. And I heard a little quack, quack, quack sound. And my duck came back into the house with a load of baby ducks of its own and came into the front room. And it was as if she was saying, look, I've got all these little ducks on my own. And that was the only time it ever came back. And it was an amazing story. Next click. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said how much he loved people. This whole little bit, this first bit, is about how much Jesus loves us. They hadn't been good to Jesus in Jerusalem. Lots of people hadn't been kind to him at all. But he looked over the city. There's a place where you can come down the mountain and look over the whole of the city. And it says that Jesus cried because he wanted those people to come to him. He wanted to look after those people. And Jesus pictures himself like a mother hen calling the baby little chicks when there's danger and gathering them in and wanting to save them and protect them and look after them. Next picture, this is the last one in this section. There, look, there's some baby ducks, chickens, under a mother hen. How many can you see there? Let's have a count up. See if this is easier than the 14. What do you reckon?
Three.
Any other ideas?
Two.
Two. What do you think? 400 and how many? Four? No. Give me a number.
Zero.
Yeah, I think that's closer than your last guess. There's one there, look. And there's a little black-faced one there. And if you look really carefully and start counting the legs, there's definitely more legs than a hen's got. So there's some more tucked away underneath. So there's at least two and probably... I think that's another one, and I think that's another one, I think that's another one. So I think there's four or five in that picture, hidden away. But the most important question of all is not how many ducks there are, how many chicks there are in that picture. It's whether I'm one of those chicks who takes shelter under the wings of Jesus, whether he is saviour to me, and whether I have responded to his love for me, the fact that he wants to love and protect me. I did that when I was a child, like your children, and trusted in God. So that's my first little bit. Where are we going? Great. I thought those prayers were terrific. They were really good. I think they were better prayers than I'd have done. So well done for that. And there was one at the end. Help us to listen. And I've already challenged you youngsters to see if you can listen all the way through today. When I got the order of service, I thought it looked like every other order of service that I get from Bethesda, so I thought I'll split this up a little bit this morning to make it easier, because it's a family service. So what I've done is I've got four little talks. Each one is only about 5 minutes long, six, seven, eight, maybe. We're not very good. Don't worry about the counting. But we've got four little talks, and if you try, I reckon you can listen, even you, because you're clever, I reckon you can listen to every word and understand all that I'm saying. So the next one is surely popping up behind me. Talk number two. And I've got to see if my clicker will connect. I've got to press this little button that says connect. I didn't even know I had a button that calls connect. So let's try. So the first part was about Jesus' love. And we flew something around, a little aeroplane. And then we talked about things that fly. little duck. And then we went on to talk about the time when Jesus compared himself to a mother hen who longed that we would come and be safe under his wings. So this is number two, we all go wrong. Now, I don't expect you go wrong very often, do you? Because you're very marvelous children. Let me just see if it's going to click. Oh, look at that. Now, that's our family. That's me and Belinda and our three children, Adam and Ben and Abby. And we look like the perfect family, don't we? But we're not. Do you know one of them has been to prison? One of them has taken drugs? One of them has become a Christian and then gone a long way away from Jesus? There's all kinds of things that behind the surface aren't so good at all. That's one of the problems with Facebook, you know. People just put up all the happy stuff. They only put up when they think they look lovely and when they're on an expensive holiday or when they're having some great kind of celebration. And you look at everybody else's life and it looks fantastic. And then you look at your own and think, oh, my life doesn't feel like that. Do you know, everybody's life underneath has all kinds of things that are difficult and have problems and things that go wrong. Next picture, Belinda said I had to show this one because she doesn't look very good on the last picture, so she wanted me to show this one as well where she thinks she looks better. So that's Belinda there. Not so good of me. This is my school report. I went to school a long, long time ago. Did any of you go to school? Yeah, you go. Yeah. Do you like school? No, there's a lot of no's. I thought school was great these days. Well, I didn't like school very much until I got old enough to choose to be there. By the time we got to sixth form, you choose whether you go or not. And when I'd chosen to go, I liked it. I don't think I like being told what to do. That's probably half my problem. So this was the grading system, because this is my school report book. All our school reports went in a book. They're written in. I've got the whole lot at home, but I've got you some of the highlights. So this was a very expensive school. This is a private school in Bath. My dad had to pay a lot of money to send me to this posh school. And this is A, B, C, D, E for very good to clear fail in attainment. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 for effort. Do you still get a system like that? I suspect it's all changed. They keep changing it so that none of us people can work out how well you're doing. Anyway, what do you think the best you could get on that report is with that grading system? You know what, fella? Yeah. Yeah, very good. So that would be an A if I got a very good. I don't think we're going to see many of those. That would be a A for very good. And then what about the effort? What would that be, the best you could get? So there's what do you think? Very good. Yeah, very good. So there would be a 1. So if there's letters down, so it would be an A1. You'd got highest attainment and the top effort. You'd tried your hardest. So A1 would be the best you could get in our thing. I didn't agree with that. I always thought that A4 was the best you could get because you'd got the highest level of attainment and you hadn't tried at all. You were obviously cleverer than somebody who'd got the A and tried their hardest. I didn't get an A4, don't worry about that. So here's some of my stuff. This is Latin and French. You can tell it's a posh school. So this over here says D4. And this says D4, so that's nearly as bad as you can get. An E would have been worse, wouldn't it? And then this here is percentage in the exam. So that's 18%, 18 out of 100. And this is 13.5% in French. That's not very good scores, is it? 13.5 out of 100. And then this is class position, 24th and 25th equal in class. We had 26 in our class. But at least I wasn't bottom, eh? They were small classes, because like I told you, it was a posh school. Quite unsatisfactory. He has made no consistent effort, as can be seen from his exam result. A very poor result indeed, which indicates that he has done little serious revision. It's not a good report, is it? I'm telling you, but we all go wrong. This is history, E4. That's the bottom, isn't it? That is as low as you can get. But look at this, 41%. I think that's fantastic. And 22nd in the class. That was quite a good result, I think. An extremely disappointing term resulting in an examination result far below his real capacity. His work has rapidly deteriorated. due to his blatant unwillingness to concentrate in class, a much more serious and cooperative something or other is urgently called for next term. It's not a good report, is it? We all go wrong. History, E4, this is... He didn't like me, this teacher. It's the same person. E4, he is under the mistaken impression that to do very little work and pay no attention is the hallmark of fame. Do they still do school reports like this? I think because Belinda's a teacher, my wife's a teacher, and she's just got a list of about 40 comments that are already pre-written, and they're very bland, and she can just kind of choose and copy-paste them in. At least our teachers genuinely knew us, and I think that is a pretty fair reflection of how I was doing. C3, which I think is pretty good. I have not been impressed by his work this term, either at home or in class. He appears to confuse noise with enthusiasm and a bright smile with intelligence. That was Mr. Watson, our English teacher, but it's not a very good report. This is my religious education one. This is obviously going to be different because I've been a church minister for the last 30 years. Religious education. It is very difficult to make him be quiet in class, which is a pity, because his contributions to discussions are usually neither relevant nor intelligent. You see, we all make mistakes. Everybody messes up. If you read on through that book, there's a change somewhere near the staples in the middle where everything changes. My grades went up a lot. My effort went up to the top. I got lots of O-levels and lots of A-levels and a degree, and everything changed. And do you know what happened? I became a Christian. That's what happened. Up until that point, I thought school was a terrible waste of time. I thought religious education was a waste of time. But one day, I realized that what they'd been telling me in church all these years, because I grew up in church like you are, I realized that I had to decide for myself whether that was right or whether it was wrong, whether I was going to follow Jesus and whether he was going to be my savior too. And when I was only a child, I was a teenager, I realized that what I'd been told all along was true and that I needed to do something about it. Do you know, this might be the day where you decide to do something about it and your whole life will change too. We've already sung a song that says the old has gone and the new has come. The Bible says we become a different and a new person when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. The new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So that's the second talk. We all make mistakes, we all go wrong, we all mess it up, but we can all change. Bam. Perfect. So part three is coming up, and you're under a bit of a challenge today to see if you can listen all the way through, and maybe you've never done that before. So we're halfway through already. That's good news, isn't it? We've done two bits, and we've got two more to do. So if you've listened so far, you've only got to do that again, and you've listened all the way through. That's brilliant, isn't it? So number three of four is what keeps us safe. We started off with the fact that Jesus loves us. He just loves us. And then the second thing, that we all mess up. We all go wrong. He still loves us. And then the third thing is, what keeps us safe? What do we trust in? What can we rely on? You might remember, because I came only about 6 weeks ago, and I told you the story of the wise and the foolish builders. And if you remember that, we had the wise and the foolish builders story. It's about 6 weeks ago. And in that story, one person is safe when the storm comes because they've built on the rock, and one person's not safe when the storm comes because they've built on the sand, which isn't a good foundation. This is Los Cristianos Harbor in Tenerife. I went there for a holiday a few years ago, and it was lovely. Look at that blue sky, blue sea, lovely beach, palm trees, That's where the ferries go off to the other islands. This is the same view the next day. Tenerife is famed for its lovely, lovely weather. But you can see there's all the boats and things down here. Look, there's the harbour wall, just the same. There's the horizon, there's the sky. But there was a big, big storm coming in. In the story of the wise and the foolish builders, the storm comes, doesn't it? And they both shelter in their houses, but only one of them is safe. There was a big storm. Can you see these waves? And this is big blocks of concrete. You can't really see the scale in this picture, but the blocks of concrete were much bigger than this screen. They'd have been about as tall as the pulpit. They were huge, big blocks that they put down as a breakwater at the end. It came in so rough and so dangerous that they had a police cordon all around so that you couldn't go down there because they were so scared that people would be washed into the sea and lost. I had to get round the police cordon to take this photograph. And after the storm had gone through, people gathered on the beach. And can you see all this stuff along the water's edge? And can you see this boat here? What's happened? The storm has come through and it has done a lot of damage. This is looking along the beach. Can you see all this bits and stuff here? All this. There's a boat there. There's a boat there. All this inside the harbour. There's a harbour wall around this. Look at that poor boat there. That's been washed up and smashed to pieces. A hole in the bottom and all the bits have fallen out and come up on the beach. That was a big storm. And everything got smashed up, even inside the harbour. I'm sure the people thought, inside the harbour, I'm going to be safe. I went down and had a look at all this, and what a mess it all was. And I went down and got one of the anchors that the people who had this boat had been trusting in. And that was the anchor. It's the right kind of anchor. It's one that rolls over and digs into the mud when you've got a muddy bottom. But it just wasn't big enough. They thought they'd be safe. They put their trust in the fact that they were inside the harbour. They put their trust inside the fact that they had an anchor over the side. But when the storm came, it just wasn't enough. What are we trusting? Because there will be storms in life. That's for certain. People trust in all kinds of things. They trust in their money. They trust in their own strength. You trust in their own brain that they'll be able to work a way through it. But Jesus warns us that there is nothing but the solid rock of his truth. There is nothing but his love that can really hold us firm when there's a big storm. What did we just sing? My anchor holds within the veil. Did you notice what we were singing? That's a song that says that Jesus is our anchor right into heaven. This verse here says we have this hope is an anchor for the soul. What an idea, an anchor for the soul. Because an anchor is something big and heavy and solid and you can see it. And your soul, you can't see that at all. You can't weigh a soul or measure a soul. But the soul is the biggest part of us that goes on forever. Our bodies, they're going to wear out. But our soul lasts forever. That's the real us. But this is something solid for our soul. People join up in January for all the fitness clubs, don't they? They're worried about their body. They're going to keep it strong and healthy. By about now, they've all given up going. Might as well cancel your membership. You won't go again. But what do people do for their soul? That's much more important because your body's going to wear out one way or another. It's not going to last that long. Might manage 100 years if you're very, very fortunate. But by the end, it'll be pretty weak. But your soul goes on forever. And this is an anchor for the soul that Jesus has made because he has gone ahead. Through the cross, Jesus has opened the way and brings us to God. I'm going to show you a picture of an anchor. Get ready for this. I showed you that picture of the little one, didn't I? This one was about this big. This is the next one. This one. That's an anchor. That's from a former HMS ship. The Ark Royal. It had four of these anchors. That's great. Can you see the size of the thing? This is on the Hoe at Plymouth, if you go down there on your holidays. And there's two ladies there, look, sitting on a bench. That gives you some idea of the scale of this anchor. Isn't that fantastic? I think that's marvellous. Have you got an anchor like that? If you look closely, you can see here where they bolted it down. Look, I think that was important. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Have you got that hope? What are you really trusting in? Because the storms will come. Where is your trust being put? So we're going to sing, My Jesus, My Saviour. Okay, so who's listened all the way through so far? Okay, we're doing pretty well. That's not bad. You don't have to put your hand up. It's not obligatory. That was good. If you did well. So we got the last little part and another great story to finish up with. So it should say 4 of 4, I think. Is that? Oh, that's right. That's me. I remember now. It's a recap. I remember what's happening. We started off with Jesus' love and we remembered that Jesus wants to gather us in like those little chicks, because he loves us. Then we all go wrong, and I showed you some of my school report stuff, didn't I, to show you where I've gone wrong. And we've all gone wrong. We've all messed up, every single one of us. What keeps us safe? What do we put our trust in? Well, there is an anchor for the soul if we trust in Jesus and follow him. And then the fourth and final part, Jesus is the Saviour. Jesus is the one who can save the day. This is a very, very famous artist from a long time ago. I don't know if you can think of any famous artists from today, but whoever you can think of, this chap in his day was much more famous. He was called Edwin Landseer, and he painted a picture that was more reproduced than any other picture in his age. You'll recognize it when you see it. Maybe your little ones won't, but you older ones certainly will. It's this picture. It's called Monarch of the Glen. It was on a million biscuit tins, and it was in my granny's front room. Great big picture of it over the lounge. Everybody had this picture. He was a very famous and a very good artist. He also designed, and you'll remember this, and you'll see these in time when you'll remember, he also designed and made the lions in Trafalgar Square. Yeah, you've seen them before. Have you been to London? Yeah, no. Well, I've sat on the back of one of those lions. When you get a bit older, you might be able to do that as well. Don't do it when you're too small. So he was a great artist. He did lots of famous pictures, and he designed those lions that were in Trafalgar Square. And they're still there today. So when you see them, you think, oh, I remember. There was a chap who came and told us a story about all of that. There was time when he was going to Scotland, because he loved to go up there, and you can imagine, take pictures and do drawings of the heather and the mountains and the lochs and the deer, which he loved very much. And he was staying at a very posh hotel, and because he was so well known and so famous, the manager of the hotel got all the staff together on the day that he was coming, and he said, listen, Edwin Landseer is coming here today as our special guest. And I want everyone to be on their best behavior. Have you ever had a special guest at your school? Have you ever had like the Queen come or something exciting like that? Oh, and you told that you've really got to be your best. Or maybe it's an Ofsted day. Yes. Could you please stay home today? We've got Ofsted coming in. That's what they'd have said to me. They'd have asked me not to come in. But it was such a special day that he got all the staff and lined them all up, said, Edwin Landseer's coming, he's the most famous artist, and we want everything to be perfect, so everybody's got to be on their best behavior, everything has got to be absolutely flawless. And he turned up after lunch and came in, and he said, well, would you like to come into our dining area? And they'd specially got everything ready. They had cakes and all kinds of lovely stuff for him to have, and he said, I'd really like a cup of tea. And so they got the maid to go off and get everything ready. And she came back in, this waitress girl. She was only about 16. She hadn't been working there long. And she was carrying in the tray with the teapot and all the stuff on to come up to the table. And can you imagine what happened? She tripped up. And she dropped the tray, and it hit the table and broke and smashed and tea went all over the tablecloth. It went over Edwin Lancer. It went up the wall, onto the wallpaper. And the manager was absolutely horrified. He just couldn't believe anything so bad had happened. And he stepped right in and he said how terribly sorry he was and that this girl would be sacked and disciplined and everything. He just couldn't, he was just horrified. But Edwin Lancer just brushed himself off. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, that happens to all of us. Anybody can have a little problem. And he was very nice. In fact, he said, I want this girl, don't you sack her, I want her to look after me the whole time that I'm staying here. I want her to be the one who brings us all the stuff. And then out of his top pocket, he took a pencil, a soft pencil, and on the wall, where the tea had splashed up the wall, he began to draw. And he started to sketch, and he started with the stain that had gone up onto the wallpaper, and he began to sketch, and he drew a picture. Can you see? And there's the stain in the background. It doesn't show up all that well. The stain starts up here and goes all round like this. And it's in there. Can you see that little bit round where it's darker? And he just started with the stain, and then he drew in this picture of a deer. What an amazing story. What started out as a terrible disaster became a tourist attraction. You can imagine that when people heard that there was this drawing on the wall, everybody wanted to see it. And when they heard the story, everybody just thought, what an amazing story that is. Do you know that's what Jesus' love is like for us? He loves us. He knows that we've all made a mess. He comes into our lives. He forgives us. He rescues us. He redeems the situation. He takes even the things that we've messed up and makes them into something that shows his love and his wonder and his grace. We can trust in Jesus because he loves us. He gave himself for us. He can rescue our worst mistakes and even make them into ways that show God's grace and God's glory for us all. So I've finished. If you've listened to those four bits, you've listened all the way through. And I think you've done, yeah, did you listen to all the bits? Very good. Is that the first time you've ever listened all the way through in church? Is that, do you think that's the first time you've listened all the way through? Yeah, I think it might be. It's the right answer. You're great. So I can remember the first time when I listened all the way through in church, and maybe that's been for you. But even more important, maybe this will be the day when, even as a child, my mum reckons she became a Christian when she was about 5. And there will be people here who will have the same kind of story, because no matter how young we are, we can put our trust in Jesus and ask him to be our Saviour. So we're going to pray, and then it's the end of our service. Lord God, I want to say thank you for our family service today. I want to thank you that you love us and want to shelter us under the wings of your love and protection and forgiveness. Lord God, we've all messed up, we know that, and we admit it, and we say that we're sorry. Lord God, we've trusted in all kinds of things. But we've heard this morning that only you can be an anchor for the soul. Only you can keep us safe through all the storms. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your love redeems any situation, rescues anything that's gone wrong, loves us all, and brings us back into relationship with you. I pray that we will put our trust in you, each one, in Jesus' name. Amen.